shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could. They just simply cannot. They are, it's an impossible. In fact, not only can the talk shows not go there, but a lot of times the whole broadcasting industry is in the dust.
Well said.
Thank you. Now, this hour we have R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy. We're going to talk very briefly, and I know we had an awful lot of calls on our Obama health care issue, and certainly we will be discussing that in forthcoming shows. But we are going to, as they say, shift gears here and talk a little bit about the death penalty with R.C. Collins. Now, I want to remind you that our website is philhenryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you have access to thousands of hours of archived material. I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, well, thousands of hours going back over a decade of full radio shows. And now that our archive is complete, I'm very happy to report, I think maybe we have, do we have like 1 or 2 months?
Yeah, I think we got like 2,000.
Well, there's 1 month in the year 2000 that needs to be filled in. Now that our archives are complete, we're going to begin working on logging all of this. We have done something that I don't think any other radio show has ever done. We have absolutely archived every single solitary show for 13, 14 years. So that's a long time. It's there on our website. We also have our video archive, which we are going to begin to fill out a little bit. Right now we have a 5-day video archive. We have our shop where you can go and pick up souvenirs and Phil Hendry merchandise. We have other archive material, character bits, television appearances, interviews that we've done. It's all there at philhenryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you will have access to all that. So why not? Why not get one? Tomorrow is episode 12 of the free Phil Hendry podcast. It's a great way to be introduced, by the way, to those archives. Just listen to the free Phil Hendry podcast. You can download it from just follow the banner on our homepage. It's available on Podcast Directory. It's available out there on Stitcher. It's available out there on iTunes. It's everywhere, baby. The free Phil Hendry podcast. 877-876-PHIL is the number, and I think we still have that Boston line open, Bud, if you can just close that off. R.C. Collins joining us now from Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California. R.C. is a junior cadet there and has been at Bradley Military Academy since his freshman year. With a eventual goal of going to West Point and becoming, obviously, a commissioned officer. And then, R.C., you're talking about going to Fort Benning?
Yes, sir. The first goal would be for me to go to Fort Bragg, which is...
Fort Bragg, I'm sorry, that's in North Carolina?
Yeah, that's in North Carolina to be in the airborne. So that's really, I mean, everybody that goes in the Army these days, there really is only one. There's really only one unit that you want to be a part of, because in a lot of ways, if you know anything about the military, you want to be in a unit that's, as we like to say in the military, you know, that's real. That's a real heartbreakers, you know. And I don't think that there's more of a bunch of heartbreakers than you know, airborne, 101st Airborne, and. They've got the legendary status, you know.
Yeah, they're very well known. Is that the Screaming Eagles?
Yes, sir. That's the Screaming Eagles, and they was in northern Iraq in the beginning of the Iraq War, and they was in Afghanistan, and they was also in Vietnam on the movie, if you saw it, Hill 875.
Well, I know the one you're talking about. That was Doc Toe.
Well, I don't know.
That was the Battle of Dok To, and Hill 875 was a major hill that was U.S. airborne. So I know what you're talking about. R.C., you wanted to talk a little bit about death penalty?
Yes, sir, because I am currently dating a young lady that I've talked with about the death penalty. I'm ready to go to war for my country, and I am ready to kill the enemy of America, whoever it is. Doesn't make no never mind to me, you know. They're just one dumbass after the next, as far as I'm concerned, if they're going to take on my country. But I have been talking recently to a young lady that I've been dating from the girls' school, which is Mount Vernon School down the road from us. It's an all girls high school.
Okay.
And she's been talking to me about a death penalty and that it's wrong to take a life just to make sure that the guy, you know, if he's a murderer or whatever, you can put him in prison and it'll do just as much good, you know?
Okay.
But the thing that has caused me confusion, being, you know, someone who eventually does want to be in the U.S. Army, and like I said, I want to be with nothing but heartbreakers like the 101st. If the death penalty is wrong, then killing Osama bin Laden doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean? And I've been wrestling with that.
It does. If the death penalty is wrong, killing Osama bin Laden doesn't make any sense.
Yes, sir. And I've been wrestling with that because this young lady, her name is Marguerite.
Okay.
She said that we could have... well, I asked her about bin Laden, and she said the death penalty was wrong, so we never should have done it. And
we never should have killed bin Laden.
According to her, yes, sir. It makes some sense to me, because if it's wrong, then who am I to say to take another life, you know?
Now, let's slow down. Let's just stop here for a minute.
Okay.
You want to be a soldier.
Well, yeah, and believe me when I tell you, Mr. Hendry, it's not because I'm scared of killing nobody, because that just doesn't factor into the equation, okay? I factored that in, and... it doesn't factor into the equation.
All right, no, I understand that. But as a soldier, if you're told to go and kill bin Laden, regardless of what you think about the death penalty, are you going to go?
Well, but see, doesn't that come under the heading of my belief system? They probably wouldn't ask me to go.
Yes, they would. Yes, they would. You know?
Well, if they knew that I was against the death penalty.
But wait a minute, this is not the death penalty. First of all, I am in favor of the death penalty, so I don't have a moral confusion here. I think I understand your moral confusion. You're saying if the death penalty is bad, which you now think it is...
Yes, sir. I'm pretty well convinced it is.
All right. You are now applying that standard that you have for the death penalty, you're applying it across the board to any and all, actions that our country may take in terminating human life to defend the country. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, because I don't see no difference if you're going to take...
Okay, no, hold on. I just want to make sure. I understand what you're saying, because, killing somebody in lethal injection or killing a guy in Afghanistan, what the hell's the difference? It's the death penalty. Is that it?
Yes, sir, that's it. But, I mean, I want you to know that I'm very patriotic, too. I mean, you're making it sound like I don't have... I mean, this is not a question, Mr. Henry, of whether I got the guts to go out and break a few hearts, you know? I'm ready to eat my own guts for my country, you know?
Well, I mean, hold on, because it doesn't sound to me like you are if you're going to sit there and say, well, you know, but the death penalty, I'm against that, you know?
No, Mr. Henry, no, you're all wrong there. I am ready to go to war and to do everything that is going to be done.
And except kill bin Laden. Maybe except kill anybody.
No, well, what I'm saying is, if the death penalty is bad, like what I think it is, then I don't believe in no death penalty. And then, yeah, you're right, I'd have to say, no, I can't kill nobody. But there's also, Mr. Henry, you can go to war and take up arms against the enemy and not kill them so much as you're just gunning them down and to keep them from going and attack or, you know, taking over something.
You know, you might ask your instructors there at the military academy or other army guys.
And one more thing, Mr. Henry.
What?
You can take prisoners of war too, like as you know.
Yes, I do. But hold on, I would suggest you ask your instructors there. What do they think of the strategy of just gunning somebody down without killing them or taking prisoners? What do they think of that?
Well, I mean, I think you need to be in the military academy that I'm in to understand intent.
No, you may be right. Maybe I do need to be in your military academy to understand all the tactics and all of the strategies and all of the plans that are put forth in your classes, because I understand that that's what war colleges do. But I'm just saying, you might want to pose that to your instructors. What about we go to war and we not kill anybody, we just wound them? See, I ain't getting this one, man. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I'm with R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy as we talk about the death penalty and his aversion. Even as a soldier, he is against the death penalty, and so therefore he believes he has to be against killing other soldiers in wartime. It's the same principle that is terminating the life of an enemy of the country. 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back with R.C. Collins and your phone calls.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
You'll get any phone calls.
Don't worry about it, okay?
Well, that's a...
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, hold on for a minute. We'll talk about it. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. If you are a soldier in the United States Army, but you are personally opposed to the death penalty, does that mean that you, therefore, in good conscience, can't kill anybody? That's what we're talking about here with R.C. Collins. And you came to this point of view because of a young lady you met.
Yes, sir.
And what was her name?
Because I don't believe, Mr. Henry, that... I mean, I'm not saying...
No, hold on. What was the name of the young lady?
Oh, her name's Marguerite.
Okay, Marguerite, and you had this long talk, I guess, huh?
Yes, sir. I dated her, and I'd seen her at the Commandant's Ball, and we had gone out, and she's very beautiful and everything, but, you know, I mean, I'm a member of the military, I mean... You pretty much got the pick of the litter anyway, you know. And so I was going to blow her off. She's hot, but, you know, I was going to blow her off and just play the field and everything.
Okay, that's fine. But you got to know her and you've been dating her.
Yes, sir. And anyway, I started going out with her, and she's against the death penalty. We talked about it. So for me, that means if I'm against the death penalty, well, then I can't go like when they killed Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, and so as a member of the military, you think you're going to say to a commanding officer, I can't go and do that, sir. I'm against the death penalty.
Well, I think if you tell the commanding officer ahead of time that you have to, that you've adjusted your views and that he needs to probably factor it in, you know? Then they'll factor that in.
What are they going to factor in, man, that you are against the death penalty?
Well, Mr. Henry, I know you don't know a lot about a military, and they'll factor in that I'm against the death penalty, and then they factor that in.
And then they say, well, we can't send R.C.
We won't send out, Collins because of that.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me just get to a phone call here, because I got more questions for you. Darwin, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show here with R.C. Collins.
Hey, thank you very much, man.
Yes, sir.
I just want to tell that young man straight up, if he is against killing people, he needs to get out of the military. I was only an Army reservist for 6 years here in Colorado, and that
uh-huh.
was through the 80s. And I did my part, and I was ready to go die and do whatever it took, young man. But if you have a problem with killing someone, you should not be in the military, and you damn well don't let a little girl control your situation if you're a warrior.
Well, but I mean, what I'm saying is, I'm ready to eat my own guts for my country. Don't make any mistake about that. I'm going to go out and
you know,
do the deal, you know, and break some hearts.
Drop the drama about eating your guts, you know, and all that crap, young man. It's straight up. You know, step away from the pipe. I don't know what you're doing or what you're on right now, but you're talking a bunch of jumbo.
What are you talking
talking about? When you step up and you sign that paper, you're prepared to go to war and do whatever it takes. No la-ti-da, and you don't let nobody else control that situation. You sign your name, excuse me, you sign your name to protect your country, no matter what it takes. It's an eye for an eye, young man.
Exactly, and I'm ready to go out.
I did my...
Wait a second, I want to do it, but... What about my rights to not believe in a death penalty?
Well, if you you got your rights. Yes, sir, you got your rights. And if you do not believe in the death penalty, you damn well shouldn't be in the military.
Give me two more.
What is that noise I'm hearing?
If somebody killed someone here on the street in my town...
Uh-huh.
They should die. I think anybody that harms anyone else has the right to be killed. You know,
I think you're
fighting to protect someone is one thing. But if you're out there killing people to make you look better, then you need to knock it off.
Well, wait a second.
Bin Laden and all that crap, they weren't out there to protect our nation. So that's a whole different ballgame than what you're trying to pull on us. So, you know, just knock
it off. I'm not trying to pull nothing. I'm trying to support the country and be a warrior on account of a girl.
Fine.
Ain't you ever met a pretty girl?
That's it. Bin Laden had to go down. He killed thousands and thousands of people. He had to be taken out.
Well, let me jump in here, Darwin. You say that he has to be taken down. Hold on, Darwin, because I want to jump in, because I agree with what you're saying. And you just said, RC, you agree with Darwin.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, then how can you say you're not going to go and kill Bin Laden?
Because there's other things you could do. You could take him into custody.
Take him into custody?
When you get out of military school and you actually have to get out there with loaded ammo and protect yourself and your soldiers, your friends, when somebody's shooting at your ass, you're going to shoot back.
Uh-huh.
And that man
I'm good to go.
Did not want to do anything but kill or be killed.
Right. And what do you mean you're good to go?
I'm good to go. I hear everything the man's saying. And
you ain't good to go. You're not good to go if they say you got to go kill Bin Laden, and you ain't good to go.
I am good to go except for that.
And you were letting a little girl control you a while ago when this conversation started.
Not really.
She said one thing. You need to get your head out of your butt, brother. There's only two ways to deal with being a soldier. You either get out there and take care of business, or you drop out and run home to mommy.
Well, I want to go, but you got to understand, this girl was talking to me about it, and it made sense what she was saying. She was talking about Bin Laden.
What's that noise I'm hearing?
What?
What is the noise?
It's a blender.
I'm sitting in my truck with no
that's,
sound
it's not you, it, No, it's not you, Dar. It's not you, Darwin. It's a what?
It's a blender.
A blender? What are you guys doing? You making margaritas or something?
We're having a refreshment. Yeah,
I rest it's my case. Step away from the whatever.
No kidding. The blender. Yeah.
We're having a situation.
You're having a situation. All right. Listen, Darwin. Thanks very much, sir. Good words of wisdom there from a man who has walked down that walk. 877-876 Phil.
Well, wait a second, Mr. Henry. I think something need to be said. Right now about that, I'm not trying to put anybody down or anything, but that man said, if I'm not mistaken, I heard the man say that he was Army Reserve. Did I hear that right?
Yeah, you heard that right.
Well, okay, I mean...
You mean what?
Well, Army Reserve, that's kind of... You're on the weekend, you go and...
No, that's Army Reserve. First of all, he was in the Army. Then he was in Army Reserve. You have to be in the Army.
Well, I don't know about that. He said he was Army Reserve.
You can't be in the Army Reserve unless you first spent time in the U.S. Army. Okay?
Well, but what I mean is the Army Reserve guys, it's not really being in the Army. And
all right, hold on, because I don't think you understand. And being in a military academy, that surprised me. 877-876-7445. If you're a soldier, but you don't believe in the death penalty, would you have gone out to kill bin Laden? That's what we're talking about, at least with this young man, R.C. Collins of the Bradley Military Academy. We'll be back here, 877-87... What is our number? 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'll be right back.
Phil Henry.
Famous Phil Henry Show, and our News and Information Hour is coming up. Don't forget, episode 12 of the free Phil Henry podcast debuting tomorrow on most of your podcast places, podcast directory, iTunes, or you can go to our homepage, philhenryshow.com, and access it. We recommend that, in fact, accessing it right through that banner, and you'll get to our podcast lickety-split. With us on the line here is R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy. We're going to get to some more phone calls. You just said something, R.C., and we're talking here about the death penalty and whether you're going to kill bin Laden. And there's a lot of moral and the girl that you made a point, you know.
Well, I mean, her name is Marguerite, Mr. Henry. I don't want to disrespect her or have nobody talking about her like she's a piece of meat, you know.
No, I'm not trying to do that. I'm wondering how this factors in.
Well, I mean, you know, she's very beautiful, and I do want to someday, you know, I'm hoping that I can have the... You know, to be able to be, you know, to spend the night. Okay, I'm not trying to be disrespectful of her, but if to spend the night with her and everything, and I hope to do that. And
okay, so you hope to do that. So does that have anything to do with you embracing her viewpoint on the death penalty?
No, Mr. Henry, I'm way ahead of you on that one. Mr. Henry, I'm pretty squared away on that. I know what it takes, man. I'm squared away, and
well, what does that mean? This girl is so beautiful. You want to get with her, spend the night with her, however you want to put it. So you're adopting her point of view.
No, I'm not, Mr. Henry. I'm just saying that in order for me to get the right perspective on it, I mean, I want to do talk to warriors, and I'm not trying to disrespect no National Guard guys or Army Reserve guys, but do they have what it takes, you know?
Do you have what it takes, man? That's what we're asking here. Do you have what it takes?
Why are you asking that?
Because you're a guy who is against the death penalty, which means I may not want to go and kill bin Laden. And now what you're telling me, a lot of that has to do with this girl, Marguerite.
Please, Mr. Henry, don't disrespect her. I'm not disrespecting anything that you're banging right now.
Excuse me, young man. Watch your language.
I'm sorry, sir.
Okay, watch your language and the way you refer to whatever is going on in my life. I guarantee you don't know.
I apologize, sir.
877-876-7445. We're going to a phone call here on the line with us is Mickey. Hi, Mickey. You're on the Phil Henry Show here with R.C. Collins. Go ahead, sir.
How you doing, R.C.? Hey, I'm gonna tell that young man one thing. I was on active duty with the 8th Infantry Division during the first Gulf War, and then again with a National Guard unit. I served in Iraq in 2004 and 2005, and him thinking that he can go tell his company commander that, oh, because I don't believe in the death penalty, I can't go do a certain job. That's wrong, because when he goes and tells his company commander that, and he's given the order or a direct order to go do his job, if he disobeys it, then he falls under a conscientious objector and will be put out of the military.
Well, I mean, I understand that, sir, but don't you think that the company commander would know ahead of time which guys he'll send out?
No, it don't work that way. Hey, orders come down from top brass that this unit, whether it be the 101st or whatever, you're on a list to go overseas for rotation, if you deny or dissipate going over there, then you would be placed under charges.
But I mean, were you in the 101st? Did you go in the 101st? Because you probably know what they did.
No, this gentleman said...
I was with the 8th Infantry Division, and I also fell under a unit over there with 1st CONSCOM.
Wait a second. Did you say you was in the National Guard? Everybody knows those guys just hang around on the weekend.
See, that's where you're wrong. That's where
you're wrong.
You're national. The National Guard and the Army Reserve is not just a weekend deal.
It's a
rotationary force. All we do is rotate back and forth overseas, relieving active duty. I was also under the 8th Infantry Division. If you know anything about the military on active duty,
I do.
First part of the 90s.
I studied up on it and everything. Hey.
Okay.
I got a joke for you. What if the guy said it's time for you to go to Iraq and you go, rotate?
Hey, we're not telling jokes right now, okay?
What kind of joke? That's not a joke.
We're not telling.
Well, you know, sit on it and rotate.
We're not telling jokes right now. We're talking about you, pal. You want to go in the military. You eat your own guts. You're the guy that said this stuff.
Well, Mr. Henry, that's military talk that I'm not sure you understand.
Eat your own guts is not military talk. That's something you're getting from your little Yahoo buddies there at your little academy. You got to stop and fight. You're sitting there talking about the National Guard. Oh, they only do this stuff on the weekend. Seems like you're the one that's in school not doing nothing. But once you get with the 101st...
Right now, we're studying battle plans, sir.
Fort Bragg. I have been at Fort Bragg. You go up there and tell the company commander at Fort Bragg that I don't believe in the death penalty. I can't go do my job in Iraq. They're going to kick you out of the military, plain and simple. And if
you're an officer,
are you going to tell your guys that, the company commander give us a job, we have to go down to this place here in Iraq and defend this little village, but if any of the enemy pops up, don't kill them. We'll just take them hostage. Well, when bullets are flying...
Exactly.
It's either kill or be killed when you're in a combat situation.
Well, what I was going to say, sir, is that I don't mean to disrespect you or anything, but see, in the military academy that I'm in right now, we're studying battle plans of a great many of the different, you know, wars and everything. Like right now, we studied Chancellorsville, which was a Civil War one. And
Civil War. Oh, boy.
Well, it's important to study the battle plans, even though I know that there's different equipment.
It's important to study the battle plan. But
he's talking about practical.
How are you going to be? Because of what his girlfriend said?
She made me feel different about it.
You just got done saying you want to sleep with her.
I want to ask you something. If a guy coming down the street is a known thug, you and your girlfriend's there, he gets ticked off because he don't like the way she looks and he kills her, are you just going to walk up and shake his hand or say, that's okay, I don't believe in the death penalty, you're all right?
Well, no, in the battle plans that we're studying right now...
What battle plan are you studying that's going to help you protect your girlfriend?
What?
What battle plan are you... This gentleman just said the girlfriend's attacked on a street. You going to kill the guy? What are you going to do?
Well, in that case, I'm taking care of business.
Okay.
You're killing him.
How can you believe that the death penalty is wrong when you yourself just said if your girlfriend got attacked, you're going to take care of business? How can you believe
that doesn't mean killing the guy. That doesn't mean killing a guy.
Okay. Yes, it does.
I'll tell you what. If me and my wife's walking down the road and a guy hits my wife, I'm going to put my military training to use, and I'm going to do everything in my power to kill that man, to keep him from killing my wife.
I'm going to take care of business. That's the difference.
What do you mean by take care of business?
Take the guy down and zip tie him.
Okay. Listen, Mike, very good call, sir. I appreciate your call very much. You're going to have to move on here. Our number 877-876-7445. I got to tell you something, Marcy. What we're hearing here...
Well, Mr. Henry, I mean, I can hear you laughing and people, and that guy is asking me questions that are, he's talking about it from the perspective of a National Guardsman, and what's that mean? He's sitting working on a Jeep? No.
No, he just got done telling you that he went to the Iraq War. He went to the Iraq Theater as a National Guardsman, as well as a member of the United States Army. Okay?
Well, yeah, but when he went to Iraq, the only thing they have National Guards people do on a most of the time is either work on the motor pool or, like, unloading crates and stuff from, like, the barges that pull in down the river. And
well, you know what? You're saying a whole lot of crap that sounds like it's right out of Mark Twain. I don't know what you're talking about. You know
what?
What do you mean that they're unloading barges down the river? What is that?
I'm talking about, Mr. Henry, anybody knows that the National Guard.
You know, everything you're saying is disrespecting the National Guard. You know that.
No, sir, it's not.
Yes, it is. You're saying all they're doing is working in a motor pool, and they're unloading barges. And, you know, and it just like you said, that the Coast Guard, all they do is teach people how to inflate inner tubes. I can't believe you, man. What are they teaching you?
I told you, right now we're learning battle plans, Chancellorsville, but also, and the other guy didn't listen, we're learning the battle plan of Belleau Woods of the First World War. And another thing we're learning about is the... Is the airborne operation marketplace
Market Garden?
Yeah, Market Garden of World War One or World War Two. I don't know which one.
World War Two. I know more about it than you, and I'm not in military school.
Well, you were in military school.
No, I never was in military school. Never, never was I in military school.
Well, I doubt that, Mr. Henry. You're pretty convert. I mean, how do you know about the Market Garden?
I was never in military. I read history. Okay, listen, hold on. We got to take a break. 877-876-7445. So you guys in the National Guard and in the Army Reserve, you'd be interested to know that all you guys do is work in the motor pool and unload barges that come down the river. R.C. Collins with us. It's incredible. And this kid's in a military academy. On top of everything else, he doesn't believe in the death penalty because he's been having these conversations with his girlfriend. And so he doesn't know how he could kill bin Laden if bin Laden were still alive. Thank God bin Laden was taken care of by guys that didn't have the same problem. 877-876-7445 is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we'll be right back with more right after this.
Truth is our bitch.
The Phil Henry Show.
Fine.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here. We got our news and information hour coming up on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. After the show, you can check the homepage of philhenryshow.com, and you'll see our show log that tells you everything that happened in the show. You can also check back pages to see other shows, other show logs. You can see right on the right-hand side the five-day archive. That's where all of our podcasts, the immediate podcasts, go. And then, of course, we have an archive of all the shows. And you'll also see a video archive there as well at philhenryshow.com. 877-876-PHIL. R.C. Collins is on the line with us. Time to go back to a phone call. And we have Eric. Eric, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with R.C. Collins. Eric, you were a Marine, correct, sir?
Yeah, I was Marine Corps. I was 2-5
okay.
At the company in Camp Pendleton, California.
Okay.
And
okay.
My deal is, if I'm sitting there and my buddy's getting attacked, I'm not going to sit back and watch him. Like, man, I can't help you because I don't want to kill this guy because I don't believe in death penalty, buddy. I'm just going to watch you get stabbed or shot or blown up.
I ain't going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to say, you know, I'm going to take him down.
Take him down?
Yeah.
No, take him down. I mean, are you going to restrain him? I mean, what are you going to do? Because to me, in the Marine Corps, we're not, hey, one shot, one kill. Hey, two in the chest, one in the head, buddy. That's how it's supposed to be whenever you're in war.
Well, I ain't talking about being, you know, like a lot of guys in the Marines, that's all they, I mean, I'm talking Army, which is, you know, doing a battle plan and stuff.
Huh?
So what's your MOS going to be in the Army? I mean, what's your MOS going to be?
Well, what do you mean?
The MOS is a job that you're taking while you're in the Army.
Well, I want to be, I'm going to be an officer in the infantry, but I do want to be airborne.
You want to be airborne.
Now, if your subordinates find out that you're an officer going in and that you don't believe in death penalty, they're not going to want you to go into war with them. They don't want you having their back.
Well, they've got to do what I tell them to do because I'm the officer.
But this man said, that's a very good point, Eric. You got men that are serving under you, and you don't believe in killing people? The morale is going to be horrible. You're going to have a mutiny on your hands.
Exactly.
What do you mean, a mutiny?
They're not going to want to do what you tell them to do.
Well, then I'm going to have to put my boot to some rear ends, won't I?
The respect there is not going to... There's not going to be any respect there for you, buddy. Because we had brass come in that had no ribbons. I had more ribbons than the brass did. We didn't have respect for them because they came from an academy like you did. And it's because, hey, I come in, I'm a boot. You're a boot just like they are. I was a lance corporal, and we had a second lieutenant come in. He had no ribbons. He shot marksman. I mean, it's. And then if I found out he didn't believe in death penalty, then that was, man, there's already a lot of things going against you there. So.
But, I mean, what academy did he go to? I didn't think the Marine Corps had an academy like West Point or something.
No, well, he went to college.
Navy.
And then came in.
Went to college.
And then came into the infantry.
The Naval Academy, too. Don't the Marines come out of the Naval Academy? Maybe not.
Are you kidding, Mr. Henry? The Navy. Ha, 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 ha. There's no Marines come out of that.
All right, fine. I don't know what I'm talking about. But Eric made a very good point. They want to see an officer that's had experience or at least inspires confidence in them. And knows what he's doing and wants to do what soldiers are supposed to do, which is kill the enemy. When you talk about not killing anybody, what are you talking about?
I'm only trying to say, what do you do when you've got a pretty fair piece of ass? Well, I shouldn't have said.
Don't watch the piece of ass stuff, okay? Are you telling me that you're against the death penalty because the girl you're with is hot?
Are you trying to tell me that you wouldn't take that into consideration? Come on.
Man. I'm married. I have
what an
a wife.
Idiot.
My wife told me, oh, well, go to Iraq, but don't kill anybody. Man, I would. It's either them or me, and it's not going to be me, buddy. I'll let you know that right now.
Would your girlfriend want you to go to war and stand there while another guy killed you and you didn't kill him?
Marguerite is she's a pacifist.
Yeah, that's great, man. That's a great girlfriend for you to have. Listen, Eric, thank you very much. Thanks for your service to the country. Appreciate having you on the line here. 877-876-PHIL. I want to get over to Mike. Hi, Mike. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey,
I'm not saying that I'm totally convinced of it. I'm trying to figure it out.
Go ahead, Mike.
Just going a little further on to his National Guard stuff. I was in the National Guard. Now, unfortunately, I didn't do what?
Yeah, he was in the National Guard, so you know what they did, don't you?
Yeah, you want to know what they do?
Yes, sir.
They do the same stuff as any other military.
Well, but
you still get deployed. Now, yes, when you're here in the States, yeah, you do 1 week in a month, 2 weeks a year, but you still get deployed. And when you get deployed, you're active duty, right in the middle of war. And you do the same thing as a regular Army guy does. You don't sit there and unload barges and work in the motor pool and all that unless that's what your job is. If you're in infantry and stuff, you're going to do the infantry work.
Well, who unloads the barges?
What do you mean unload barges?
If that's what your job is and stuff, your MOS, as the Marine guy who was just on there was saying, that's what you do. If your MOS is in the motor pool, then you're in the motor pool. My MOS and stuff was, I was in the 301st maintenance company. I worked on the cars. I worked on tents. I did different things like that. Now, I wasn't deployed.
And you could be a pacifist, too, if you did that.
No, you couldn't, man, because they might order you to go out and fight.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
You're going to have to go fight. No matter what your MOS is, pretty much, you can go fight. If it comes down to it and they need people on the battlefield, your butt's going to go.
Yeah, but think about it. What if I'm the cook? What if I'm cooking? If I'm the chef? They're not going to make me go fight.
Yeah, they might, man, if they need you to. Yeah.
If the whole, if the base is under attack, if the base gets under attack that you're on, your butt's going to have a gun in your hand. You're going to be out there firing bullets instead of turning stoop.
Oh, well, yeah, yeah. I'm going to go and do it then if the base is under attack and stuff. But if
what's
I'm
the
chef, because America, most of the time, we're not going to have no base being under attack. We're the ones that go out and break hearts.
Oh, boy.
Sir, my job was staying in a trailer. I was in an air-conditioned trailer and stuff, sewing up tents. That was my job. That's what my employees was. I was a seamstress. My butt got pulled out in the field and had to go on the line. So don't tell me they won't do it.
I just can't feature that. Some guy that's in a sewing circle, the next minute you know, he's breaking hearts.
That's why you take training for it. It don't matter what.
Hey, Mike, thank you.
Everybody takes the same basic training.
You're right. Mike, thanks so much for calling, and it was great to talk with you, especially your candor about being a seamstress.
Yeah, and then he says he's out there breaking hearts and taking names? I doubt it.
Will you shut up and go to bed?
Hey, Mr. Henry, can I get an autograph?
World-famous Phil Henry Show coming up next is our... It's our News and Information Hour. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
He must be crazy. I mean, that's terrible to do something like that.
Gentlemen are recognized.
Finally, if anybody wants to know where cynicism is that there's one.
I have the floor, President Pro Tem. I don't want to hear you anymore.
911, state your emergency.
There's some cops. There's some guys.
Are you gay?
What's a gay what?
You blew it!
World-famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we take you on a nightly trip through the looking glass of this marvelous world called talk radio. Researchers reveal that men want sex until they die. Women, they don't want sex until they die. That's the research, I'm telling you. New York may ban restaurants from using salt. This is all real, what we call real facts, you know? 877-876-PHIL. A good evening and welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, known internationally and galactically. And we're on the Internet at philhenryshow.com. All you have to do is go over there. You can log on using your backstage pass, and you can watch a video of the show tonight. You know, we always say it takes you a couple of weeks to figure this show out. However, if you get a backstage pass and you're actually watching us doing our video cast, it doesn't take you, it takes you 5 seconds to figure the show out. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. The very compelling story from this 7-year-old boy in Norwalk, California. Norwalk, California is down the Long Beach Freeway. It's kind of heading south out of the major city of Los Angeles proper. It's on the way, roughly on the way down towards San Pedro, Long Beach. It's a working-class town. It is a part of a sprawl that began after World War II when Lakewood was developed. Norwalk, Downey, and the city of Los Angeles became the sprawling megalopolis that it is today. In the city of Norwalk today, a 7-year-old boy called 911 while armed robbers were threatening his mother and his father. And the boy, who is identified only as Carlos because he is a child and he deserves a little bit of anonymity, told reporters today that he remained calm during the ordeal because his mother used to make him practice dialing 911 in case of emergencies. We're going to have Robert Green on from Fraser Foods to talk about this case and his interest in this boy. Here is Carlos calling 911 to report gunmen have broken into his home.
911, state your emergency.
There's some cops. There's some guys. They're gonna kill my mom and dad. Can you come?
What happened? Where are you at?
Norwalk, California.
Okay, what's your name, lady? What's your name?
Carlos.
Carlos?
Yeah.
How old are you, Carlos?
Can you come really fast?
Can you tell me what happened?
They come, they ring the door, and they have guns. They shoot my mom and dad.
Right now?
Yeah. Can you come really fast? Bring a cop.
Okay, listen to me. I have them coming.
None of them.
Listen to me. I have them coming, hon. Listen, okay? Listen
okay.
to me. Take a deep breath. I already have the police coming.
I'm ready to go.
Listen, hon. How old are you?
I'm 7 years old.
Okay.
All right, this was a home invasion, as you might imagine. The following clip from this tape, it's very chilling. You should know that the kids were not hurt. No one was hurt. The gunman fled, but they do break into the bathroom where Carlos is hiding with his sister.
Yes, stay on the line with me. Don't hang up. Listen to me. We're coming to help you, but listen to me, okay?
Okay.
When you were in the house, tell me exactly what happened, okay? Just stay where you are and don't hang up, whatever you
okay.
do.
Okay. They bring the guy. They have...
Hey, we need to get the guy. We have a home invasion. And he's saying that he shot the mom and the dad, and the 7-year-old was screaming 911 in the phone. Yes, but they just broke into the bathroom and took the kids.
So there you hear. You hear the dispatcher. You heard Carlos. The assailants invaded the home. They held his parents at gunpoint while he and his 6-year-old sister were in the locked bathroom. He begged the dispatcher, as you could hear him, please tell the police to come. The assailants left without taking anything once they realized the boy had called 911. Apparently, they asked him, who are you on the phone with? He said, I'm on with 911, and that's when they fled. On the line with me is Robert Green from Fraser Foods. What a story, Bob, huh?
Well, I think it's a story, especially if you're a parent or you're an uncle or anyone that has children in your care. It's just one of those stories you can't forget, Bill.
Now, Bob, I know you have a particular interest in this story because I know that you, your stores, Fraser Foods, are throughout the Southwest. You have one store in the L.A. area, and you've got another one?
We do have a planned opening, Phil, for tomorrow, a store of ours in the Downey area. And to that end, we were hopeful that Carlos would join us for the opening of this store in Downey. I have not heard back from him or from any of the principals there. What we were hoping for is that Carlos would join us and cut the ribbon for our Downey store. I understand that there are a lot of people today, Phil.
You wanted Carlos to come down to the store tomorrow?
Yeah, but there are an awful lot of people, obviously, today that... you know, have interest in him. There are a lot of people that, I guess, want to have him on TV and interview him. I understand that. And there are a lot of people that that want his attention. I'm a businessman. I don't have the pull, I guess, of a TV station. I don't have the glamour of a movie. I'm just a businessman who wanted a little bit of help. From a young man who had gained some notoriety today, but I'm given to understand that isn't going to happen. And so you move on.
You were asking that this boy, Carlos, the 7-year-old, come to the Downey store tomorrow to cut a ribbon.
Right. We're having an opening. This is the second Southern California store. We've got some 27 stores in the Southwest and the Southeast. And I was hopeful that this boy would... come to our Downey store, cut the ribbon, wave, take some photographs.
Bob, I can well imagine your interest in this boy is what exactly?
I think it should be a little bit obvious. The boy helped save his family's life. Grocery shopping is about families. The grocery experience, the shopping experience, keeping your family well-stocked and well-fed, is what family life is all about on some level. And to have a boy there who helped save his family from, I can only imagine what, cutting the ribbon and taking some photographs with us, I thought spoke very well to the family nature of Fraser Foods. But again, he apparently has not seen fit or has not, I guess, been taught that you at least return a phone call and that you are a polite. I'm a little disappointed.
Well, you said to me before we went on the air, you said that this boy has been helpful to a lot of people except a businessman in Buena Park. That you're referring to yourself.
Well, I don't want this to be about me. I'm noticing that the boy has been talking to all kinds of media and all kinds of people about the phone call that he made to 911 to save his parents. And to be honest with you, we don't have any information yet as to why there was a home invasion there. I hope it had nothing to do. And I'm confident it had nothing to do with anything that his mother and father were doing illegally. I'm very confident that that's the case. I don't know what really will come out, but I would hope that he would instead devote a little time to a businessman who hasn't broken the law. But apparently that's not in the cards. He doesn't feel like calling me back.
Well, you're talking about this boy Carlos as if he's making these decisions, you know.
Well, I think at some point he's going to be the one that makes the call. I know he's only 7 years old, but you can't get a child to do something he doesn't want to do. So who's ever fielding his phone calls and who's ever answering his phone right now and taking messages for him, apparently they haven't presented it in a way that I think I would present it, which is, would you like to go to a grocery store and cut a ribbon? That's it.
Well, you also want to use them for photographs. And I don't want to get into an argument.
I think you're characterizing this the wrong way, Phil.
No, I know. I don't mean to. It may sound to him.
You're characterizing it like I'm going to use this boy to promote my store. Yes, I want him to be at the store opening. But I can assure you I'm going to have a little bit more respect for him than a home invasion robber. I'm going to have a little more respect for him than perhaps a parent that was involved in something illegal.
We don't want to leave this impression in people's minds that his parents were doing anything illegal. We don't know that.
Let me just jump into something here, Phil. You know, Eric Massa, this congressman, touched a variety of men and was involved in some kind of illicit sexual contact, and yet, at the end of the day, he's going to have a book deal and he's going to have a radio talk show. Harry Smith this morning, I turned the television on to CBS, and Harry Smith was getting a colonoscopy on television at an hour when most people are eating their breakfast. For some reason, Harry Smith and Eric Massa get a pass. People reward them for acts that I think you and I would agree are tasteless.
Well, in the case of Harry Smith, that's an educational thing.
Well, it was during the breakfast hour. There's no way anyone's going to argue to me that that was somehow tasteful. That was as tasteless as it gets. And yet he's rewarded with a very lucrative job. I did nothing to offend anybody. I invited this boy who saved his family's life with the 911 call to help us open one of our stores. And I haven't even been given the courtesy of a return phone call. I have ordered flyers. We had some T-shirts made. We didn't go into a lot of expense.
You're feeling disrespected.
I am feeling disrespected.
It sounds to me like you're feeling as if this boy, Carlos, who is a 7-year-old boy, let's remember, you know, how old he is.
Well, you can say 7 years old, but I can tell you that once you expose any human being, no matter what the age, to the media glare, they grow up very fast, and they know which side of the bread the butter's on. And I can tell that this kid is already getting a big head.
At the age of 7? I mean, what we had today, Bob, was a little boy who had called 911 basically to save the life of his family.
Which is one of the most admirable things that anybody could do. But as the day progressed and he got more media interest, this little 7-year-old boy, as you call him, started to get a bigger and bigger head about this. Until now, he doesn't have the common decency to return a phone call from a businessman like myself.
All right, Bob, we're going to take a break. I want to get back to what you're talking about, because Bob and I have talked a lot of, about employment issues, about advertising issues. We're talking about Carlos, the 7-year-old from Norwalk, California, who called 911 and saved his parents. Bob is interested in having the boy cut a ribbon at a new store tomorrow, but he hasn't gotten a call back. You're tying this in with the fact that Eric Massa is going to have a book and a talk show, and Harry Smith, even though he had the colonoscopy.
Well, what I'm saying is those are two guys that have been engaged in tasteless, vile, I may say vile, actions, and yet they are allowed to go on and make their money.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number, 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is Robert Green from Fraser Foods. This little boy, Carlos, he's been through a very traumatic event today, but obviously he's been doing a lot of interviews, a lot of press, and he's got a call here from Bob to cut a ribbon at his grocery store tomorrow. Should he? Should he at least return the phone call and tell Mr. Green that he can make it or not, or who to speak to? Bob Green feels the kid's already getting a big head. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I think I rolled that out the way I wanted to.
Fine.
Phil Henry.
There's no need for an 8-year-old child to learn how to fire a machine gun unless he's living in Somalia. In which case, you know, line him up, man. The shooting range's open in Massachusetts. Phil, don't forget to visit us online at philhenryshow.com. This is the little boy, Carlos, as he called 911 on Tuesday as a home invasion was taking place in his home, and his quick thinking and his phone call saved the lives most likely of his parents and of himself and his sister.
911, state your emergency.
There's some car. There's some guy. They're going to kill my mom and dad.
So you can hear that. I don't want to play the whole thing, Bob, again. It's extremely traumatic, but it... That's a tough little boy, and I know that you are interested in having him cut the ribbon at your store.
Well, let me say, Phil, I've heard the tape several times. I think it's a great example of that boy's courage. I think when you play it a lot, though, you leave the impression that somehow there are other people that haven't been hurt.
Well, what do you mean other people that haven't been hurt? This boy saved his parents' lives.
Business people such as myself who wanted to get in on a little bit of, you know, as we say in the business, the sunshine. There's a little bit of sunshine going on with this kid. And I asked him if he wanted to cut there. I said, would you pass on the message? Do you want to cut a ribbon? And
what were you planning on giving this boy a gratuity of some kind?
We had some Game Boys, some of the new Game Boys, but I was told that he's going to go on Bill O'Reilly. This is what I mean. I think that this boy, Phil... Between yesterday, when he stared into, literally, into the abyss. This child stared into the abyss yesterday, and today, he's weighing offers with Bill O'Reilly and Larry King. And I, you know, I'm not getting a call back. That's what I find rude.
Well, all right, so you're taking this now to the level where the kid is being rude with you. 877-876-PHIL, and I don't know what to think about that. Let me go over to Angela in Louisville, Kentucky. Angela, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Robert Green. Go ahead, please.
I just want to say I think this attitude that a 7-year-old traumatized child owes you anything is disgusting. It makes me sick. This kid was traumatized by home invasion, further traumatized by the media. He's 7, for heaven's sake. He owes you, and for that matter, nobody else. He owes anybody anything.
Well, I don't want it to seem, Phil... Look, I'm not saying that the kid owes me, but if
that is the impression that you give. You feel disrespected by a 7-year-old traumatized child.
That's what you said, Bob.
Well, no, but I would ask the lady to consider, don't you think that if the kid is not returning my phone calls, he's starting to get a fat head about this? And all
absolutely
of a sudden,
not. If it was my 7-year-old kid and he was on a radio saying this, it would just be straight up ugly. This is ridiculous that you go after a 7-year-old child and his family like this. And there's
I'm not
no
going
other
after
media.
Anybody, ma'am.
Sure,
I'm
you
not going
are.
After
there's
anybody.
No other media anywhere that said anything about the parents doing something illegal. I've only heard that from you.
I know. I think that's a bad inference, Mr. Green. I think that, and Angela's right. That you're inferring something here that hasn't been established.
Wait a minute. A home invasion in a working class neighborhood of Americans, not immigrants, Americans. You don't think that there was something that the father was doing?
I'm not going to speculate. This. Why
sure
would we
you
even
are.
Do that?
Just by saying that is speculation.
No, I think
you're
that Phil. See, she thinks you're me.
Because they won't let that child, or they won't push that child to come do you a favor.
I'm simply saying that I think I would be a better influence on the boy cutting a ribbon at a grocery store.
You have no claim to this boy. You have no, this boy has not nothing to do with your life. You have no claim to this child.
I understand, but you didn't hear. I had T-shirts made. I had coffee mugs made. So I'm out about $5,000 in merchandise with
because
his name on the
because you made a stupid financial decision.
You got coffee mugs with a kid's name on it.
All I'm saying is she said that I haven't sacrificed anything. I've got T-shirts that are going, you might as well use them to wipe with because the kid's not going to come out. Now, at what point am I allowed to say this? At what point am I allowed to say, I hoped he would come out and cut a ribbon instead of going to New York and kissing O'Reilly up one side, down the next?
You don't even make
we
any
don't know
sense.
That,
you should
we don't
have
know that he's,
merchandise made up. Without
why
somebody
not?
Saying, yes, yeah. The child would be there. You're just
you're
trying
telling
to make
me that
this
kid,
child.
I'm opening a store about a block or about a mile north of where he lives. Bill O'Reilly is in New York.
Wait a minute. Do you know that he's going to go to do the O'Reilly show? Do you know that he's doing any of these things? You're making assumptions that the kid is snubbing you. Because
the kid is snubbing me because he's got a little bit of a fat head. It's natural. It's normal. I understand that. But I think these fat-headed kids can't get away with this.
All right. We'll be back with Robert Green, Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL, right, Bob?
Yeah, whatever.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line is Robert Green from Fraser Foods. They're located in Buena Park. They're opening a store in Downey. It's about a mile north of the city of Norwalk, where this drama, this life and death drama played out yesterday. Bob, you have the store opening. You wanted the little boy to cut the ribbon. Unfortunately, he's not going to be cutting the ribbon. And you are, I'm trying to understand. I mean, you're saying...
Well, there isn't a whole lot to understand.
Well, you're saying that somehow this child, 7-year-old boy, because he hasn't returned phone calls, is getting a fat head.
Well, you know that Larry King and Bill O'Reilly and the rest of them have been dangling offers. You know that all of a sudden now, this child knows that he's in demand. And the only thing that I'm saying is...
How does a 7-year-old child know that he's in demand?
You're telling me the children don't understand when everybody's paying attention to them and patting them on the head and telling them how great they are? And so what chance does a businessman like myself have? All I want was for the kid to come out and take some pictures. But instead he's going to go with the big offers. I know the boy saved his parents' lives, and I'm glad that he did. But in the process, it's almost as if business people like myself, it's almost as if he cut me with a knife, you know, as if I'm bleeding. And
you know, this is imagery that is way over the top. You know,
no, I don't think it is.
Yeah, it's totally over the top. I mean, if you are having a grocery store opening, and this boy can't make it out to the grocery store opening because of any number of things that had nothing to do with being on the Bill O'Reilly or Larry King show, or Oprah Winfrey for that matter, then I think you have to, you know, realize that that's a possibility. But to say that you're being targeted.
Well, I can tell you what's happened in the last 24 hours. This guy, Eric Massa, who has been touching men and groping men and had sex with men and claims he isn't gay and is making up all these stories, and now he is going to have a book and he's going to have a radio talk show. Harry Smith, who had his colon looked at.
All right, you've already brought up Harry Smith. What's so wrong about that? You know,
that is a violation of every American home, having Harry Smith on television in the morning with a tube all the way up, you know. And yet I can't get this.
Bob.
You know, I'm going to say the word. I can't get a brat. And excuse me for saying
that. That's completely. What if this child is listening?
I doubt seriously if he's listening or not, Phil.
What if that boy is listening?
I doubt seriously that he's listening, Phil. They probably got him in bed early. For a flight to New York.
I don't want to hear that word again.
All right, I won't use the word, but how are you going to protect me from having a bank account drained because of this kid?
The kid is not draining your bank account. You're the one that printed up the T-shirts. Let's go to Jenny. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Jenny, you're on the air with Robert Greene. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Phil, cut the guy off. He is despicable, deplorable, and any other words that I can think of that mean not a nice guy. He's really does not a very good.
I would love to hear from some business
forward.
I'd love to hear from some business people instead of housewives
I am a businesswoman. I know it. Some people don't believe that if you have a uterus, you can run a business, but I do run a business.
Well. And then you understand that promotion in a recession is very important.
If you'll let me finish a sentence, sir, I didn't interrupt you. In my opinion,
I'm saying that business in a recession is very important, and if this kid got a fat head on you.
Let the lady finish, please.
To call this child names, to insinuate that his family is involved or engaged in any way, shape, or form in illegal activity. To allude to the fact that this is a fat-headed kid, it would be like me saying, you know, Bob, who runs Fraser Foods, isn't he that pedophile guy? I don't know, Bob.
And what evidence do you have of that? What evidence do you have? What evidence do you have of that? What evidence would you have of that? I have evidence that the kid's got a fat head.
Do you
have evidence the kid is?
No, you don't.
I've got evidence that the child is getting a big fat head on it.
Guess why? Because
my children were 7 years old. They were not allowed to use the phone without me being present. Maybe his parents don't allow him to call some businessman named Bob from Fraser Foods. But what I will tell you, sir,
doesn't make any sense. You know what? It's a good thing that nobody home invaded you because you'd be dead today. Your kid wouldn't have used the phone.
You know, here's
your kid would have said, well, my mom won't let me go to the phone. So you get shotgunned in your hallway.
All right. Go ahead. Bob,
Phil, this has upset me so bad that I will, in the morning, call all of my family in California, because the best way I know to fight this is in the pocketbook, and tell them, please, never shop at anything that has Fraser Food stamped on it.
That is bigotry. That's bigotry. And
you know
I
what? This is America.
Racial.
This is
you're
America.
Being racial.
And I have
how's she being
right
racial?
I don't know what color
you
are.
Don't want to
polka dot. As far as I know, I don't know what color
I happen
are.
To be. I happen to be black.
No, you are not. You're white. Why did you lie about
what
that?
Color you are,
I thought I'd say I was black to see if she'd buy it.
It doesn't matter,
Bob,
what
you know,
color you are to me. You've spoken ill of a
so
family and a child that you don't even know, and that is despicable and deplorable.
Well, then why won't the kid call me back? Why won't
I don't
call
know,
me back?
And I don't personally care.
Because
you know,
he can't get his hat on anymore.
You know what? I don't know that. I have no idea why he won't call you back.
You look at that little boy. I saw him on TV.
To assume.
He can't get the hat on.
Why should he call you back? You're nothing to him. You don't know these
people.
It's
an opportunity for him to be a nip. You know, I was going to get my Game Boy.
For you to exploit a 7-year-old child. That's called
I only have one question. What makes you think I'd let your relatives into my store? See, that's a question that you didn't anticipate, did you?
You know what, Bob? You know what you're doing now, Bob?
What makes this lady think that I would let any of her relatives into my store, let alone touch the produce?
So what is your point about saying that, Bob? Because you want to insult her?
I asked her, don't
he
you
likes
think
to insult head? People. No, I guess he likes to insult people he doesn't know.
No, ma'am. I
don't
asked
know
you
him
a question
Adam
that you
Getz.
Won't answer. I asked you a
well,
question
what
that you won't
question?
Answer. I asked you once, don't you think the kid's head is getting fat?
I don't know.
And she answered it.
I do not assume things about people I do not know. That's called
ma'am,
an assumption.
I don't know why you want me to take advice from a daycare owner. Because
I don't run a daycare.
Yeah, okay.
I don't run a daycare.
Well, what is it with you, Bob, and the insults that are coming now?
Because I've been insulted. Because I have been taken advantage of. Because a little tiny kid whose head is starting to outgrow his Houston Astro hat.
This child doesn't know you from Adam, doesn't know from Larry King or Bill O'Reilly, was doing what his mother taught him to do. The adults are proud of him. The country is looking upon him as a good young boy. And you have chosen to call this baby names because he won't cut a ribbon at your store.
No, I didn't call him a name. I said the people handling him are brats. That's what I'm saying.
Well, you didn't say that. All right, listen, Jenny, thank you so much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. We'll go over to Diane in Marin. Diane, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Robert Greene. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I think in this situation, the only person with a big head or a fat head or whatever he wants to say is Bob. And being in marketing myself, I can tell you, you are doing... untold damage to your opening for tomorrow, because if I lived in that area, the last place I would show up is there, unless I were there with a picket sign. You are the most absurd, self-serving person I've ever heard in my life.
You've got a family to feed. You've got a family to feed, and we've got ears of corn at a price you can't resist.
You know, I can't even believe that this is an interview. I think you're crazy, and you need to be checked in.
Yeah, Bob, I want to ask you a question. Did you think you were going to come on our show? Bob, did you think you were going to come on the show and say these things about a child?
Oh, well, you people are making this sound like I'm some kind of a child molester. I'm a businessman, and I put a call into a kid who can't even pick the phone up and call me back. He called 911. Maybe if my phone number was only 3 digits. Oh, yeah, she hung up. You know why? Because truth is, it's a painful thing. And when you're running your own business, and you've got someone who won't call you back, it gets painful. Let me tell you what. You can't sit down for a long time. And I'm not going to take business about...
Bob, you're telling me on the one hand that you really are admiring this kid. You told me at the beginning you admired what this boy did. On the other hand, however, this kid's walking around with a fat head because he won't call you back to cut a ribbon at your store opening.
And that wasn't it. I mentioned the T-shirts, I mentioned the coffee mugs, and I mentioned Harry Smith getting the colonoscopy. And
the Harry Smith colonoscopy doesn't make any sense. Just because you think that looks weird on TV.
He's getting rewarded for that. I'm being called a pedophile. Wow. You talk about injustice.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here from Tina. Tina, you're on the... Tina, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, ma'am.
I appreciate you taking my call.
Yes.
I'm just wondering if this person you have on here... is an actual human being, or is he somebody that y'all have made up and put on this show to?
Yeah, sometimes I wonder.
I cannot believe.
Sometimes I wonder. Did I make you up, Bob?
Now, let me tell you something, Mr. Hendry. I'm a successful businessman of 35 years. If you made me up, then that would mean you know something about business. And with all due respect, I don't think you do.
I have never in my life, called
anybody make you up, ma'am?
In my life.
Ma'am, did anyone make you up?
Disgusting human
who made you up?
I have ever tried to listen to. Why would a 7-year-old child that has been traumatized be sitting around concerned about your grocery store being opened? Why are you stupid enough to go out and spend your money you're complaining about on making T-shirts and coffee cups when you haven't even talked to this child's parents?
Because I thought it was a slam dunk. What kid doesn't want to cut a ribbon? What could you be thinking?
The
child would come out and cut a ribbon at a grocery store that would take 5 seconds. That's what I was thinking.
The child is 7 years old. He probably don't even know what a cutting a ribbon is at a grocery store, you idiot.
It's a very quick decision, ma'am. All he has to say is thumbs up or thumbs down. And what I think happened is O'Reilly got to him.
O'Reilly
got to him, and this Glenn Hannity.
It doesn't matter. Okay, a seven-year-old child is supposed to make a quick decision for you. He doesn't know you from that. Hey, look, the child's been terrified that his family was being murdered, and you're concerned about your grocery store ribbon being cut.
I understand, but that's all over now. It's all over now, ma'am. The police came. His family's not being threatened now. I simply put a call in to Carlos. I didn't know who answered the phone. I said, "Well, you have the kid call me?" And they said, "Yeah." Now, what I think happened is this guy, Glenn Hannity, got to him, and they're keeping him under wraps.
You mean Sean Hannity?
Well, he's 7 years old. He probably needs to be kept under wraps, you idiot.
Oh, sure. Keep him under wraps so they can fly him to New York when I need him to cut a ribbon.
That's none of your business what his parents choose for him to be flown to or not. That's not your concern.
Then I'd like to know who's buttering this kid's parents' bread. Then is it?
That's none of your business. It's none of your business. What makes you
think? I think it is my business. I think it is my business.
Why is it your business?
It's my business because, number one, Eric Massa was groping people, and he gets his own talk show. Harry Smith.
Well, look at you. You're an idiot on a talk show.
What's that?
Look at you. You're an idiot on a talk show. I can't believe
Harry
you're
Smith.
Even allowed to be speaking.
Let me ask you a question, ma'am. How come a man can have a tube run up his you-know-what on morning television and make the money that Harry Smith makes? I don't understand.
He's over 7 years old, and he can make that decision for himself.
Okay, and so I make a decision to have some punk kid cut a ribbon.
What's the punk kid stuff?
I'm sorry, you are.
What are you calling him that for?
You're a disgusting human being.
Oh, man.
I think you're a punk. You're an adult punk.
You think I'm a punk? What's a punk?
A punk. You understand, Bob? Because you can't seem to differentiate between an adult and a child. This child didn't make any decision, even if he was going to go on the Glenn Hannity show or whoever it is you're talking about.
A seven-year-old child is not capable of making, as you say, a quick pop decision.
Ma'am, if you saw this boy on TV today, he had on a baseball cap and his ears had folded down. Now, that to me is someone who's wearing that gangster look, like you think he all bad now.
You're a fool.
Are you out of your mind?
Oh,
you are.
Why?
The more you say, the more of an ass you make yourself out to be.
Ma'am, no, really? Is that why I'm a millionaire? If you knew who I'm.
The lady that called before me. I have never been more disgusted in my life, and I hope that
if you knew how much money I've got, you'd go out with me this Friday night. You'd go out with me Friday night if you knew the kind of money I've got. So I think that what we're talking about here.
She'd go out with
me. What did you say?
If you knew how much money I have, you'd consider.
If you have Mr. so Green, much money that you're bragging about, why are you complaining about spending money on coffee cups and T-shirts?
I've got money today because I don't let some kid screw me out of every nickel.
That's what you're complaining about. That you on your own idiot gumption went out and spent money on T-shirts and cups when a seven-year-old child, you haven't even talked to his parents.
First of all, ma'am, you don't know that the kid was traumatized. He might have thought it was one big video game. That's number one. Number two. We're running a special in our store for a dozen eggs, $2.99.
You know what? I hope you don't sell one of them because you're an idiot.
If you were here, you'd buy them. You'd not only buy the eggs, you'd come over to me and say, "Bob, what time's the pool party?"
Are you joking?
You know something, man? Thank you very much for your call. Thank you, ma'am, for your call.
I'm a what?
An ass. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, as we talk to Robert Green. You know, this little boy, Carlos, a seven-year-old child, saved his family's life. Mr. Green is upset that the kid isn't returning his phone calls. He wants him to come up and cut a ribbon at a grocery store. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. For an 8-year-old child to learn how to fire a machine gun, unless he's living in Somalia, in which case, you know, line him up, man. The shooting range's open in Massachusetts.
Bill Hendry. what he said?
Absolutely, yeah. And you think I have bad taste.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. So you contacted Corey Haim's people.
Before we found out about Mr. Haim, and we said that we would be happy to have him at the ribbon cutting, and of course, what happened happened. So I'm in a little bit of a jam, and there isn't a businessman out there that doesn't recognize that these things happen. I was thinking on my feet. I think I was doing...
You had asked Corey Haim to come out and cut the ribbon at your grocery store.
We had contemplated that. I don't know why that is such a, you know, and when we found out today that there was no way he could cut a ribbon, that's when I thought, hey, this is a good idea. And what am I getting? What I'm getting is not good thinking, Bob. I've been called an idiot. I've been called a fairy. I've been called a, you know, little Mary Jane. I've been called a fruit by everybody.
I don't remember anybody calling you any of that stuff. I've heard people question your intelligence, not necessarily your orientation. 877-876-PHIL. Susan in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Go ahead, Susan. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Robert Smith. Or Robert Green, rather.
Thank you. This gentleman that you have on the show should become a friend of this child and take him to therapy with him, I think. They both need therapy, probably because the gentleman on the phone has needed therapy for a long time, and the child, now traumatized, needs therapy himself because of the trauma he's been through. So I think the gentleman...
Ma'am, I'll do anything that you suggest. If the kid can do the ribbon cutting, I'll do anything.
He doesn't owe you anything, dear. He does.
Well, then why am I going to... Why would I want to take him to therapy?
No claim on this child, like the lady before you said, and I believe you need therapy. So
I think
do the humane thing.
Young boy...
Take the child therapy with you.
Because
I believe you do need therapy, sir. So,
I have no reason to. If the kid would do the ribbon cutting, I'd have a reason to...
He doesn't
take him
to therapy. Ribbon cutting to you, dear. He
then why would I want to take him to therapy? Why do I want to take him to therapy?
You need therapy, hon.
I need it.
Therapy.
Then why am I taking the kid with me?
If you're 35 years old, like you think you are, which I don't think you are,
I didn't say I was
35. You should get some therapy because, hon, there's a lot of life out there to live, and you might want to think twice about
a lot of life?
The decisions you're making in your life and get some therapy.
And
that's all I have to say, so I'll hang up now.
It wasn't much.
And I'll listen to the rest of
this
on the show and on
the
air. Thank you for having my
call.
Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
What are you doing?
Just messing with her.
877-876-PHIL. She says that you need therapy, okay? And, you know.
Yeah, I got that.
All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show next hour.
What happened to the call?
We're all done with you, man.
Oh, so I'm twisted in the breeze waiting for a kid to cut a ribbon while he...
In any event, we'll be back next hour on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Roy Tarner.
Phil Hendry. Visit us online at talkradionetwork.com.
Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And we go there boldly and willingly and, you know, and sometimes we limp into those places, but Jack, we go there. This hour, we are going to talk about the continuing, albeit quieting, controversies. Not just around Rush Limbaugh, but the larger question of birth control and what it means. Because if you really want to get down to the brass tacks of the whole Limbaugh controversy, personalities aside, you're talking about why women take birth control and what the interpretations are. Oh, you take birth control? That's fine. And then, you know, what society may think, or what individuals may think, what the woman herself thinks. And then what is the interpretation of that? And, you know, is that something we pay for? You know, is that something that society is comfortable paying for? Now, if insurance covers Viagra, I got a real problem not giving women insurance money for birth control. I just got a super, super big problem not provide. That's just my personal opinion, okay? I don't want to get anybody mad at me, but... If you're giving guys Viagra, you know, insurance is paying for Viagra, and we're not talking, I don't think, does it discriminate between married men or single men? It doesn't really make any difference, because even if you're subscribing, or if you're prescribing, I should say, Viagra to a married man, you know as well as I do, you're not, the doctor is not sitting there saying, well, I'm going to give you a prescription, and the insurance company will pay for this, so that you can achieve functionality, so that you can have all kinds of babies, right? That's why. Now, don't lie to me, Charlie. And that's, I think, how silly that gets. Vernon Dozier is an educator. He's a high school educator. And it's taken its course, I should say, this topic into our schools. And, Vernon, you are a current events, a social studies teacher at your school, as well as the athletic football coach and basketball coach. So you've been talking to your students about this very topic, and we're very happy to have you with us. Coach, how you doing tonight?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on your program.
Coach Dozier, the seniors and juniors that you talk to in your social studies and in your health classes about this topic, how do you approach this?
Well, we approached it from the standpoint of the Rush Limbaugh controversy. In other words, we said, I'm sure you've seen or heard the news concerning popular commentator Rush Limbaugh and a name that he called a young woman who was testifying in front of the United States Congress. Now, as a teacher, I want to make sure that my students get all the information they can, but I can't divorce myself from the reality that I do have opinions. You know, that my opinion counts. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying to a class of students, I'd like to give you my opinion about this, and I'd like you to just listen to it. I'm not going to necessarily give you a test on it, but I'd like you to sit there as young men and women and just shut your mouths for a few minutes and listen to me while I tell you what's up with this. Because here's why I say that, Phil.
You're not telling them to shut their mouths, are you?
Well, it depends on the day, to be honest with you. But you know, you are dealing with young, underage kids, and they do get rambunctious. So you do sometimes you have to tell them to just shut their mouths, or you know, just be quiet. But the reason why I say that is because of this. It seems logically to me that if a woman takes birth control, she does not want to have a baby. Now, if she is a single mother, or if she is a single woman, doesn't necessarily have to be a mother, but if she's a single woman and she's taking birth control, she does not want to have a baby because she's going to be having sex with men she's not married to. If she's a married woman and she uses birth control, she still doesn't want to have a baby. She wants to have sex. Just to have sex. All right. Does that make her a slut? The technical definition, I think, of a slut, if you not necessarily go to Webster's, but if you go to what I call the Common Sense Dictionary, and that is in the Common Sense Dictionary is I think, right next to the dictionary on how to treat your fellow man, the Golden Rule Dictionary, you know. And the Common Sense Dictionary tells you that a slut is someone that likes to, you know, enjoys doing, you know, doing sex. Every time, you know, a lot of times. And that, to me, is an indication of a slut. Now, here's what happened.
So that's your opinion that you expressed to the kids?
Well, I mean, if you're a female and your body is constructed so that you have babies, men don't have babies, women have babies. So if you are having, say, if you need to have it, sex, even though you're going to have a baby, so then you're going to go take some birth control, boy, you really got to have it. So my feeling is that does mean either slut, or it means slut slut-like or sluttish, however you want to put it. I went to all of the girls in my class, and I asked them one at a time, what was their definition of a slut? I said, now, this is before I told them what I thought. I said, I went to every girl in my class.
And well, how many kids are in your class?
In the social studies class, we've got 20, and it's 9 boys and 11 girls.
So you went to 11 girls?
We went to 11 girls, and I said, now, what's a slut? What's a slut? What's a slut? And then not one of these girls, and I got a little irritated, and I did speak to one of our counselors after about it, but I kept telling these girls, I said, what is a slut? You know, I when you lean on someone's desk and you look at a kid in the eye and you know she knows what you're talking about, and you look at her and you say, would you tell me, please, what, you know, I'm just remembering this one girl, her name is Heidi. I said, would you just, what is a slut? I mean, I lost my temper a little bit, and I shouldn't have. And,
well, that sounds to me like you're getting hypertense.
No, I'm not getting hypertense. I just, when you asked her, I said, do you know what I mean by a slut? Miss Juniper is her last name. I don't want to, these are young, underage kids, so I don't want to say what their names are. But, you know, I said to her, would you please tell me over and over, and she wouldn't do it. And I finally, I remember saying, just, would you please, in the name of Jesus H. Christ, tell me what a slut is. And that's when I went over the line. I got a call on that the next day, and I got a call from some of the other parents, from the administrator, saying the parents had called. And they were upset because I'd asked this question. Well, guess what, Phil? The girls whose mothers are single were particularly angry with me asking what a slut is. And I knew what that meant. They're single women. They're taking birth control. They're having sex with men that are not their husbands. And so naturally, they're going to be hypersensitive about me asking that question. And I thought it was personally insulting because two of them had turned down dates with me when I was single. I had been not single, but I had been separated.
All right, no, hold on for a minute. I want to get up to speed here. This girl that I want to get back to the girl in class that you were asking this question of, and it sounded to me like you were getting really angry with her.
I lost my temper at one point, and I used the phrase Jesus H. Christ, and I should not have said that. And I apologized. But you have to understand my frustration. I said to this girl, I said, you better, you know, I know you know what a slut is because I know this girl's mother. Her mother's a single woman. She's a single mother. I know her mother.
Okay, you know her mother and what?
I know her mother, and I know her mother has sexual relations with men that are not. Obviously, her mother's single. She's not. The husband and her are divorced.
You mentioned having asked one of the mothers out on a date.
I had asked two of the mothers out on a date.
Was this mother one of them?
That is, that's affirmative, but, Phil, it's not germane to what I'm talking about because I wanted to get the answer from these kids. Everybody wants Rush Limbaugh's hide. Is what he's saying true or not? That's all I wanted to know.
So was Rush Limbaugh right in saying that a woman that takes birth control who is not married or a woman that takes birth control to obviously have sex and avoid having babies, does this make them sluts, that is, wantonly craving sex?
Yeah, that is exactly correct.
And you feel that the question is valid?
I feel the question is valid, and what I think is unfair is that I was called on the carpet because of my temper. And they never did get around to, well, was Coach Dozier asking a valid question. Instead, I got shot down because I said to this one kid, would you please answer the question? Because I'm thinking, answer the question. I know your mother is.
All right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. You know, I can't even go with that answer, but I don't want to engage the coach yet with my opinion. We'll ask you yours, 877-876-PHIL. Taking birth control, does that automatically make you a slut? And, of course, is it an appropriate question to ask high school females? And is it an appropriate question to ask, particularly of a high school female whose mother is a single mother, who is dating, and so on and so forth? So there's a lot of stuff going on with this question. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. The Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, as we talk here with Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy. Coach Dozier is the varsity football coach. He's also the social studies teacher, as well as the health and science teacher for the senior and junior classes there. You're also the senior and junior class advisor coach, is my understanding?
That is correct. Started this year, Phil.
Well, congratulations on that. And I know that the stadium, after another divisional title for the football team has been named in your honor, and that's got to be something for you, huh?
It is, Phil. It's 27 years here at Belmar, and I've been very blessed.
We're talking about the health and science class that you teach. There are 11 girls in your class. You went to each one and asked them about what they thought a slut was. Some of those girls are the mothers. Their mothers are single. And you were talking to this one girl about her own mother. Was she a slut? Did she take... I wanted to ask you your concern over this word slut and what it means in relation to birth control. Was this all about the Limbaugh story?
Yes, sir. It was about Limbaugh. Look, Phil, this doesn't make me some kind of a freak of nature because I...
No, I'm not saying that it does. I just wanted to make sure because... You were getting very hypertense about this one girl. She didn't. You asked her, "What is a slut?"
I got hypertense about her because I know her mother. And look, her mother has the perfect right. When I was separated from Tiffany, I had asked I asked a lot of women out, and I asked out one of these, and she said no. And okay, that's fine if she thinks she's God's gift to. In any event, I said, that's fine. But when I asked her daughter, I said, what do you think a slut is? And the little girl sat there staring at me with that kind of half smile. I don't know if you've ever seen I'm a big, big fan of these chow dogs, if you've ever seen a chow dog. Well, they have like almost a smile. And it's a smile that it's almost like the dog is looking at you like you're dumber than he is. And before I got to know dogs as a young man, before I understood dogs, I used to kick chows right in the face, right in the head, because I thought they were smiling at me. You know, I didn't know any better. I was a kid. But she got this look on her face.
Yeah, no, I know that, and you used this profanity.
It was not profanity.
Well, yes, it was. It was profanity. It was taking the Lord's name. Isn't that profanity? And
oh, yeah, you're right. Yes, sir. And
okay, and that was the tension that you were talking about that eventually... you were called on the carpet for.
I was called on the carpet for using that, but I wanted to say this. Her mother, I know her mother, and her mother is having sex, uses birth control, and has sex, has lots of it, and I don't want one. I won't tell you how I know.
All right, I don't think that that's appropriate for our radio show either.
I didn't use anybody's name. I didn't use anybody's name. Check your law book, Mr. Henry. I didn't use anybody's name.
All right, our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. This is Janine on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Janine. Janine, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, this guy, he sounds really insecure about himself, and it just seems that he has a lot of anger towards single women, period. And how does he really know for sure if this woman was on birth control? I mean, did he stalk her? Did he go in her house and look in her medicine cabinet? I mean, like, he's... And
well,
then kicking dogs in the face? This man is, like, sick. And I don't think that him approaching his students was appropriate either.
Ma'am, if I could say, Phil...
Go ahead.
Ma'am, no, I did not stalk anybody. I'm asking my students a question based upon a current event story, which had to do with Rush Limbaugh, the talk show host. And the question was, what do you think a slut is? And I asked my girl students, because obviously this affects them, it impacts them more directly. Well, none of them could really answer the question, but when I got around to the four girls whose mothers I know are single, and then I got to this young girl whose mother I know, and you asked me, what was your question? How do I know what?
How do you know she's on birth control?
Let's just put it this way. If it crawls through the grass and it's, you know, and it looks like a snake, it is, okay?
That'll make no sense. You're not making
What does that
sense.
Mean? Yeah, what does that mean?
Excuse me? What does it mean? It means this. If it walks like a, what's the phrase? If it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it's a duck.
Well, what does that mean? So what are you saying about this girl's mom?
This woman is seen at every bar in Glendale.
But how does
with a different guy. What's that, ma'am?
How is that telling you that she's on birth control? That doesn't tell you anything about being on birth control. And I mean, that just, you're
well,
not making any
me.
Sense. I think
the woman has been, excuse me, the woman has been.
This woman rejected you.
Ma'am, it's got nothing to do with it. The woman for years has had a reputation of crawling every one of these bars.
You know, we're talking about someone's mom here. We're talking about a woman. You think there's anybody in your school that's going to recognize who she is?
Mr. Henry, you asked me a question. I'm trying to answer you. She's got a reputation, and this girl's asked me, how do I know she's on, well, if she's not on birth control,
if she has a reputation, why were you trying to date her?
Well, ma'am, three guesses, okay? Does that make me a bad guy?
Yes.
All I'm trying to...
Oh, God. I mean, it makes it a little unseemly. You're a high school teacher.
You people are really interesting, and this is what I don't like about the liberal media. I come on the program to answer questions, and
no
now all of us...
liberal media, really.
Is that right? Within 30 minutes, you and Mr. Henry now have me standing here in front of the world like some kind of a, excuse my language, because
no,
the kids talk this way
now. We're holding you accountable for what you say. That's it and that's all. You're
right,
the one who put yourself on this talk show. That's it.
No, I'm on the talk show because I have expertise in areas having to do with education and current events. You two have put
really?
Me in front of the world like
okay,
the all-time...
being rejected by
yes.
over 100 women does not make you an expert.
Excuse me, ma'am. When did I ever say I'd been rejected? I'm a married man.
When
you were
rejected,
separated from
you
my...
said you were rejected by two women from
yes.
the parents of the students at your school. I mean, Phil, am I wrong?
One of them...
Well, you did. No, you said that. But I didn't hear him say 100, Janine. That's all. I think...
I didn't say 100.
No, you didn't say 100, but I'm...
Let me
I'm
tell you, in my life, I've never been rejected by 100 women. In my whole life, okay? So,
all right, let's not talk about your dating. I'm not interested in that.
Well, that's what this lady's talking about.
No, what we're interested in is the fact... Here's the question. Are you not emotionally motivated by the fact that this woman rejected you, wanting to know what a slut is, bearing in on this woman's daughter, talking about what a slut is, slut, 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 all this stuff? You lost your temper. You admitted that you did. How do you know that you weren't losing your temper because this girl's mom wouldn't go out with you?
You know, this is what I mean. You two, the liberal media, sticks me in front of the whole world like I'm a first-rate USDA-inspected prime douchebag. And the reason for that is I won't answer your questions. And
well, don't you think that that's what motivated it? Your anger.
She's out with every... I asked her out. She said no. Okay, fine. I don't care.
Yes,
I don't.
You do.
You know.
Yes, you
no.
do.
Do I really? Do I want gonorrhea? No,
obviously
I do not.
Obviously, you that's care because you're angry. This has nothing to do with the Lord or.
You know, I don't know you. I don't know you, ma'am, but I hate you very much. And the reason why...
All right, hold on. I got to take a break here. Janine, thank you for your call. Thank you. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. Vernon Dozier here on What a Slut Is.
Phil Hendry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. On the line with me is Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy. And Vernon is joining us here from Belmar tonight because, well, we're talking about his social sciences class, as well as social studies class, I should say, as well as his health and science class, and the discussion therein on birth control and the whole definition of the word slut. You know, Vernon, I've known you for a lot of years, and the reason why I had you on the show is you're an educator, and you do a health and science class. You teach a health and science class, as well as a social events class or a current events class. So the two things come together. You see what I'm saying?
No, I understand what you're saying. You didn't say it very elegantly there, Phil. You had a difficult time spitting it out. Yes, but you're right. I'm very well versed in what we call social studies, as well as health and science. And you're right again when you say that these two topics do come together. On the one hand, you have Rush Limbaugh, who asked a very good question, and that is, well, okay, you may not like me. My name may be Rush Limbaugh, and you might think that I'm, you know, the Antichrist or whatever people think about Rush Limbaugh. I don't know, and I don't care. But he did ask a good question. Don't you think a woman's a slut if she's taking birth control like it's cotton candy, or however you want to say it?
Like cotton candy? You mean?
I mean, like popping pill like it's candy. You know?
No, I know what you mean by that. But there's a very specific protocol for birth control.
Phil. I know there's a specific protocol. You know as well as I do, especially the young girl. And I got. Let me tell you something. You have your callers tonight, and they don't like what I'm saying. But I got my, you know what, fried, and I mean fried third degree. By the administration, by the board, and by the PTO at Belmar Academy. So I've already had my hind end. I mean, cooked. I mean, it's like if I sat down in red hot charcoal briquettes. That's what happened to me. I don't know, how was your day, Phil? Because that's what happened to me.
All right. So, and what, did you learn anything?
What is that supposed to mean? Did I learn anything?
If they call you on the carpet and say you grilled that girl, you interrogated that girl, you asked her this hard question about what's a slut, what's a slut, what's a slut, and your mother's a slut. I mean, you know.
I didn't say that her mother was a slut. I said, you know full well, you know, and I said, Jeannie, you know full well that your mother and.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me go to some phone calls hanging on here. We got Chad. Go ahead, Chad. You're on the Phil Henry Show here with Vernon Dozier.
All right. Hey, Phil.
Yes, sir.
I was going to make a comment to this guy talking about how his perception of all girls taking birth control automatically classifies them as a slut. That is so simple-minded, I cannot even begin to elaborate on
why is she taking birth control then? If she's taking birth control,
taking precautionary measures, she doesn't.
Yeah, I know.
Y'all take it in the morning and plan on screwing everybody from her house, school, or work.
If you're single, then what are you doing?
And so when that time arises, she's prepared.
That's a female. That's a female, and you know as well as I do that the female is going to draw the man in for the purposes of sex. Because the female puts out the sexual signal. Now she's popped her birth control. So the man is naturally going to be drawn in by the sex signal that's being put out.
A man
only he don't know.
Because a man's going to go out after it anyway.
What's that?
So I said a man doesn't have to be drawn in. He's going to go after it anyway.
I know that he's going to be drawn. No, I know that, but he's going to be drawn in by the female that's put out the sex signal. And he won't know that she took birth control. He thinks he's drawn in by the natural sex signal. And
what is this natural sex signal? I don't know. What do you mean?
There, if you know anything about health and science, Mr. Henry,
genetic makeup to seek out a partner.
What?
We're all creatures.
I
we
can't
all
hear
look
you, man.
I say we are.
I
all
know
creatures.
We all look for me, but we don't go out. You don't see butterflies. Excuse me for saying. Do you see butterflies banging everything that moves? No.
And not all girls taking birth control go out banging everything that moves.
Well, excuse me. Just help me out here. What is an unmarried girl doing? What's an unmarried girl doing? Taking birth control. That's number one. And then her mother, I happen to know of her. I know 3, 4, 5 women who are single mothers, who are mothers of girls in our class, and they, not a one of them would say yes to me for a cup of coffee.
You know, you keep bringing that up, and that just lends credence.
No, I'm not saying that.
Yeah, you know, you are saying that. That lends credence to what that girl said when she called and said that you're angry because these women turned you down.
No, I did not say that, Mr. Henry.
Yes, you did. You keep bringing this up. You know, I asked them all out, and they all told me no. Okay, and what is this sex signal thing you're talking about?
You don't know about that.
No, I don't. What is that?
Excuse me, you've never heard of the Ferdinand? It's the smell. A woman puts off the ferninome or something, but it's called the smell.
The pheromones.
Yeah, pheromone.
Pheromone. No, I think both of you. That was a pretty good stab at it, though, Chad. You got closer than Vernon. Thank you for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL.
Oh, can I say something, Phil? This is what you sounded like just now.
That was a pretty good stab at it, Chad.
See. When you try to suck up to your callers.
Wait, what did you just do?
I was making fun of you, like you've been making fun of me.
What, you mocked my voice? All I said was that was a pretty good stab at it, Chad.
No, but that was you sucking up to your callers, trying to get your callers more and more and more and more on your side, and trying to make them more and more be against me. Now, I want to tell you something.
Okay, Vernon.
Hold on, I want to tell you something. I'm a teacher of a high school class, and I try my very best, and I do my very best, and when Tiffany and I separated, and I knew that she was not going to come back.
You know, you need to calm down.
I'm simply saying to you, when I asked that woman out, I didn't ask her out so that we could screw like a couple of rabbits. All I wanted to do was take her out for a drink. A drink. That's what it's called. You've heard of it. It's called a drink. At that point, Phil, I didn't care. It could have been, she could have ordered a punch, a Hawaiian pooch. She could have ordered not a hot dog, but a...
I know what you're saying. A non-alcoholic?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So that's fine, and I'm really sorry about your separation, and everything's good. You know, I'm not angry at you for that. I just don't know what any of this has to do with you teaching your class about health, science, and the definition of slut relative to birth control. Let's go to Mark on the Phil Hendry Show. Mark, go ahead, sir.
Wow, I don't even know where to begin. I really don't. This guy sounds so sexist and ignorant, yet he's a paid professional. He's teaching children. He's teaching our future. And he doesn't know how to pronounce
pheromones. No, listen to the caller.
I'm sorry, yeah, pheromones. You're right. I was having a hard time finding the word.
Yeah, you're getting flustered over your own step in the crap.
If the caller can tell me how I stepped in the crap, I'd love for him to tell me, because I believe that I've been...
You said it yourself. You were brought out on the carpet. You were talked to by everybody in the school about your mistake, using the Lord's name in vain. I'm not highly religious, but I know that that's offensive, so I wouldn't say that. In fact, the term slut is offensive to most. I wouldn't say that as a teacher. However,
I used the term, sir, because it was in the news. It was in the news, so I used the term.
My teachers used the term, too. I'm just saying, me personally, I wouldn't as a teacher. However.
You have to. If it's part of the news, you have to use it.
Okay, that you're right. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, great. So I get blown off and this guy gets to make his speech.
You made your point, Vernon. I want to hear what my caller has to say.
Wow, that kind of threw me off. As far as women using birth control, there's a lot of different reasons. One of the things you have to look at in high school kids is the their perception of the world is that it's a pretty bleak and dismal place to be. A lot of them turn to drugs. Escapism runs rampant. Sex is the last free legal high. And so, yeah, there are a lot of men and women that are slutty. I've got more than 20 condoms in my apartment. Does that make me a slut?
Yeah, you got 20 condoms. Well, you got 20 condoms? So yeah. What are you going to do? You're going to go out and use those on a woman. Is that right?
No, I don't plan on
it. Does that make you a slut?
They're here in case something happens.
What do you mean in case a woman just walks in and says, will you please have sex with me? Are you nuts?
Yeah, particularly one woman, my ex and future wife.
It's your ex and future wife. So if she comes in and says, have sex with me, oh, shoot, you better have sex with her. Now, Mr. Henry, on TV right now is this woman, Erin Burnett, and she has a thing that says, Becoming China's Bitch. This Erin, you know who Erin Burnett is?
Yeah.
And she's got a headline, Becoming China's Bitch. Now, here's a woman who's now using a colloquial phrase used by a lot of people, but she's a female, and she is basically using a prison term that America is going to be China's bitch economically. And this is Erin Burnett, who's got the look of slut all over her. What do you say to that?
Oh, boy.
What does old boy mean?
I mean, just as this gentleman said, I don't know where to begin. She's got the look of slut all over her.
She's using a headline that says, Becoming China's Bitch.
Like?
Turn on CNN and take a look at Erin Burnett. There you go. You want to know what I would put her face... And look at this, Becoming China's Bitch. So America is becoming China's bitch, according to Erin Burnett, who's about as... She's got slut carved up.
Wow.
You're crazy, no, not, man. That's like walking down the street and saying, oh, well, she looks like a Christian, and she looks like a...
No. No, totally different.
I mean, you can't just...
No,
look at
yeah, you can say that. Yeah, I've seen a lot of people look like... I've seen a lot of people look like vegans. Skinny guys... With their hair in the dreadlock, the filthy dreadlock, and they're skinny, and their girlfriends don't shave their legs, that guy's a vegan.
Or a heroin.
All right, fine. All right, thanks very much, sir, for your call. Our number 877-876-PHIL. I don't know where to begin with you, Vernon, because Erin Burnett is a slut, huh?
She's got a head. It says, Becoming China's Bitch. She's using a prison yard term. You know, I got to tell you, man, you people, the hypocrisy, it just makes me want to heave... Everything I've ever eaten in my life, I want to heave it up.
877-876-PHIL. I see what it... Did you put it over on the CNN, but Becoming China's Bitch. Whatever. It's CNN, man. They're the most inelegant. They are... CNN is a faux intellectuals retreat. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. What is a slut? We've got Vernon Dozier on the line, who was called on the carpet for singling out one young girl's mother, who's a single mother, her use of birth control and what that meant. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Hold on. World-famous Phil Henry Show, Vernon Dozier with us here as we talk about the definition of slut. What was this, Vanity Fair?
I forget which magazine it was, but it was one of the recent ones, and I saw a woman on the cover, one of the celebrities, and she's pregnant, and she's naked and pregnant on the cover now. Phil, believe me when I tell you I've been married, and I've got two grown children. I've got an adult daughter and an adult son. I've seen my wife, my first wife, pregnant. And she is very beautiful to me. But that's to me. I know I'm not so egotistical as to think that my wife, pregnant, is attractive to every man or woman out there. And quite frankly, sometimes when a woman's pregnant, blood vessels are broken and all kinds of things. I don't even want to get into it, okay?
All right, so the point is what?
Why do I have to look at it on a magazine? I don't know who told Demi Moore or whoever this one. I think I saw this one. Who's that old lady? They got an old woman on the cover of New York Magazine that I think is an assault on the senses. It's an assault on the nervous system.
Well, I'm sorry, I don't know this.
You know, Mr. Hendry, you don't know a lot of... Every time I mention something...
I don't know the magazine you're talking about.
I'm talking, sir, about New York Magazine. There's an old lady that's pregnant on the cover. Have you seen it?
No, I have not.
It is an assault on the nervous system. When I saw it, I remarked to my wife. I said, do you remember? And she's too young to remember, but I said, when The Exorcist came out, the first time that the young girl in the film, Linda Blair, the actress, the first time her character's head turned 360 degrees, it was a frightening moment in the theater. Everyone screamed. And I am telling you now, as God is my witness, that when I looked at that old woman, nude and pregnant, it was Blair's head. That's all I saw going all the way around, or whatever the woman, the Blair. And then when she took the, you know, she took the crucifix and went, let Jesus blank blank.
You know,
are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. And you got to have some kind of a problem, man, to see a pregnant woman on the cover of Vanity Fair and immediately remember the Linda Blair character in The Exorcist with the crucifix saying, let Jesus blank blank.
I've got the problem. Brother, that you just knocked it out of the... I've got the problem.
Yeah, you've got the problem, man. You have got the problem. 877-876-PHIL. Let me take another phone call here. Wow. Here is Bud. Go ahead, Bud. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I drive trucks. I woke up. I've been listening to this program for about 35 or 40 minutes. And I still have yet to determine what his stated purpose of using classroom time is when he goes eyeball to eyeball with these teenage, well-developed girls, wondering how close he got his eyes to them. Can you imagine the level of education these kids are getting? I mean, the guy's
well,
40 minutes, he still hasn't gotten to his point. What's the point of the classroom discussion?
The point was this, sir. It was a good question that Rush Limbaugh asked. What is a slut? What is a slut?
What are you doing trying to defend Rush Limbaugh to these kids? The second thing I want to say, and then I'm going to get off and listen to your comments. I'm convinced, Vernon, you're a very dangerous threat to the security of these girls teaching, and I think you need to be monitored very closely.
That is an absolute slander.
Before you
That's
get
a
out
slander.
Of control. You are
you just
a dangerous man.
You have slandered
you
me.
You want to. I'm touching a tender spot with you. You're
I'll bet you're touching a tender spot.
What?
Yeah, I'll bet you're touching a tender spot.
You're dangerous.
Is that what you're doing now?
In the classroom.
Sir, you have slandered a 35-year teaching professional. And you talking about touching your whatever.
No, he didn't say that. He said touching a tender spot.
You're a very
no,
dangerous
he did
man,
not.
Vernon. You're a very
How am I dangerous?
Man.
How am I dangerous when I bring up a topical? This is a topic that was in the news that my seniors are old enough to discuss this because this was in the news, and I asked them, all right, Rush Limbaugh, a very prominent commentator in American society, says that you're a slut if you use birth control. Can you define slut? I didn't ask them what their opinion of his comment was.
You
then I went directly.
You've been 35 or 40 minutes trying to get to the point. You still haven't gotten to the point. I'm very sorry for the quality of education these kids are getting. And, Phil, thank you for the show.
The point that I was making... Okay, see, he hung up. No guts.
No, he was waiting for 35 minutes.
The point that I was making... And then I'll hang up and listen. No. I'm not...
You going to hang up and listen?
No, I didn't say that.
That's what you were going to say.
I did not... I didn't say that. Yes, okay, all right. So I'm tired. So I'm sick and tired and sick to death of you and your callers. How's that feel? Is that a good fit?
You're sick to death of me and my callers.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sick to death of you, your callers, and my point is simply this. How is it that a woman can take birth control as a single mother? She's in every bar in town on Friday night, and when I asked her out for a drink... For lunch, she looked at me and laughed. She laughed.
Uh-huh.
Well, what does that mean, uh-huh? You know, Phil, there's an old saying. What's the definition of a bitch? Well, I can't say the word.
I know the joke.
It's not a joke. It hits too close to home for me.
It's the, she'll sleep with everyone but you.
Yeah, that's where you know it.
Yeah, I do.
Well, that's what she is. Now, the other point about this guy that called up, I'm a truck driver. Did you hear him? If he's a truck driver, my name is Darren Duck.
I don't know. What duck are you talking about?
What duck am I? What's the cartoon duck?
Donald.
No.
Daffy.
Well, who's Darren? You know what? I can tell you're laughing at me. You could go straight down.
Phil Hendry.
Darren Duck? I don't know.